Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. What a great selection of beer that they have. Microbrews, domestics, imports. Wow. Wide array of snacks. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. And, of course, the pickle bar. Yes, the pickle bar. So, there you go. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the final Olympic fun fact.
Of course, you remember this. But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on The Steve Jones Show.
Sunday night, closing ceremonies. They'll extinguish the Olympic flame, and the Olympic flag will then get passed to the representative from South Korea, who, by the way, of course, will be the host of the next Winter Olympics. Then, in 2015, the flame will be lit at Olympia, Greece, by women clad in traditional Greek clothing, using a concave mirror and the sun's rays, and the flame will begin a journey from Greece to Rio, where it'll parade until the opening ceremonies of the 2016 Summer Games. There's your Olympic fun fact.
Want mine?
Sure!
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game! Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact
with Steve Jones.
On The Steve Jones Show.
There's only 48 hours left. We're done.
See, that was not fun. That was not a fun fact. There was nothing entertaining in that.
Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît. Which is also the official language of the Olympics.
That is also true.
But there are people out there right now doing this.
You know, have I been bitter these last 2 weeks? Have I been bitter once these last 2 weeks?
You've been in a fog.
I mean, you always complain about me being bitter. I have not been bitter once in the past 2 weeks.
I always complain about you being bitter.
You're a bitter man. Bitter, bitter man. I haven't been bitter in 2 weeks. I love this Olympic stuff.
You haven't been bitter in 2 weeks. Well, you mean off the air or on?
Either. Publicly or privately. How's that? Now, I have no idea what I'm going to do over the next several months before baseball starts or anything else, but, you know.
Got Duke and Syracuse tomorrow night, big dog. Duke and Syracuse, both flying off losses coming into their game.
That's enticing.
But you know what? That should be a really good game. The first one at the Dome was unbelievably good.
Now, see, I still have tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday to catch up on, and I won't get a chance to see anything tonight, so I'll have to watch it all recorded. Which is actually recorded of the recording. And so Monday is my day. It's like I'm quite sure what I'm going to do on Monday.
You're going to do the show with me, you knucklehead.
Well, you never know.
unless there's something you and I don't know about.
You never know.
You know something we don't know?
And in case you missed it, Canada did beat the United States 1-0 in men's hockey, so the men will play Finland, who was a loser to Sweden, for the bronze medal.
They cheated.
Maybe. Maybe.
I saw it. They cheated. It was obvious. Now, you know what got me in watching that game? Was that once Canada got the lead, they kept the pressure up. Even when the United States pulled Jonathan Quick, who, by the way, played brilliantly for the United States today, they could never get the puck into a central location to get a really good shot or a screen shot on Carey Price. Even when they put the extra attacker out there, everything went to the boards, had to be worked off the boards. And if there was a shot on Carey Price today, it was a clear shot where he was not screened. They really played brilliantly defensively. I mean, what they did was, it was the equivalent, what Canada did today was the equivalent of playing a zone defense with five guys, okay, where you really packed in the zone, get anything from the outside. The United States could get very little in front of the net going against them today. They really forced them wide and forced them to the boards and had everything come at angles like that and nothing out in front. And Price didn't leave rebounds. He didn't leave rebounds. Well-executed plan.
It was a good couple of days for Canada. They have the women's gold medal. Now the men will be playing for a gold medal.
And the polar vortex hangs out up there all the time. It wasn't that great.
Curling, I believe it was men's women's sweep and curling. There you go. One last curling.
Oh. It's not even a sport.
It's the only sport you can play and make the Olympics at any age. I mean, really.
And any weight. All right.
And your point is what? I don't quite understand. What's your point?
You don't have to be in shape to do it. There's a difference between a sport and a skill.
Okay. There's some athletic ability in this sport. I mean, not anybody can just sweep it correctly. Listen, you can sit there and knock on the microphone all you want.
This is the kind of sport where they sit there and they crack open some Labatt's and Molson's and go, hey, let's play ice shuffleboard.
Well, can't say that that's not true.
That's exactly right. Skill, not a sport.
Do you know who finished second?
I have no clue. I don't care.
It's the other curling powerhouse of Great Britain. Well, I mean, basically that's where the sport was invented.
Okay.
You can't get the stones from anywhere else.
I have 5,000 lines for that right now, none of which I'm going to use.
You know, it's one of those things that as soon as you say it, it's just too late to take it back, you know?
I am not going, and Roger's over there going, oh, thank goodness. Glad Steve's there. Somebody else may have said something.
Yeah, sometimes I just make it too easy.
I'm not saying a word. But I think there's certain things that are skill, and I mean, it takes skill to play sports, but sometimes I admire the teamwork and the whole thing. I don't know.
No, I understand. I mean, but you have to see, you really do have to. I've talked to several people over the last couple of weeks that said, what in the world are you so fascinated about curling? And, you know, after putting the joke aside that, hey, listen, that's something that I can do and still get into the Olympics. But after setting that one aside and going through the strategy of it and actually watching a match, you'd be surprised how hypnotizing it is and how many people that have come back to me and said, you know, I watched a match and you're absolutely right. I just, I just sat there and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, but this is so suspenseful. And it can be.
Oh. I also figured out a way to improve biathlon.
Yeah, I like your idea, I have to admit.
No, I have a second idea.
Okay, it's not paintball guns?
Well, the paintball guns are great, and I think they ought to do that. I think okay. Americans would watch that, right? Well, if they're going to do it this way, machine guns. I mean, can't say, and we move on, and let's say, get back to the skiing.
My one thought is they added a lot of these X Games sports, which, by the way, I think it's funny that NBC refuses to really call them X Games sports.
I know.
But you know,
well, they call it by its Olympic name.
Right, I mean, right. Fine. But I mean, they try to avoid referring to it by the X Game roots or anything like that. I mean, they make reference to winning an X Game medal, but that's about the extent of it for obvious reasons. But I wonder what's the next winter sport that will be added to the Olympics. Besides these extreme style sports, I mean, where is this the direction of where the Olympics is going to have to go to get people interested? Will it be snowmobile, whatever, stunting? I don't know. I've only ever seen it. I don't know what it's called. But basically, you just do stunts and snowmobiles and flip them over and things like that.
Really? What? How about we just do juggling with chainsaws?
Well. But I'm saying, with all these new X Games style sports in there, is that the direction the Olympics is going to are going to have to go?
Well, I mean, you have the snowboarding part, you have the freestyle skiing part, the moguls part, this slope style, which is brand new, and then they have. It's the race now. What the heck's the race called?
Ski cross and snowboard cross. That was a couple of years ago they put that in, but that's fairly new as well.
I mean, they had a relay in that today or something like that.
Well, that is the only sport where you could be dead last, 30 seconds behind everybody, and all of a sudden win because everybody wipes out.
Well, not just wipes out, but I mean, if you don't hit the... it's actually... I saw as many didn't get enough speed going up the hill, and suddenly I'm done.
Well, that too, yeah.
To the couple wipeouts here and there. I don't ski, even though I grew up in New England, so I was around it all the time. A lot of my friends skied. They'd go to Killington, they'd go to Okemo. They go to Ski Southington, whatever, Brody Mountain. And they would ski. But I don't know what else there is.
Like I said, the only thing I've seen that they haven't added is the snowmobiles. Maybe snowmobile racing, snowmobile stunts. We just got a message.
Well,
message at stevejones.com that says, or I'm sorry, stevejones at WKOK.com that says ice carving. I don't know if that's next or not.
It's another reason why I want Penn State to go to a bowl game. I don't want to look at ice sculptures downtown anymore. I want to go someplace where, ice is in my drink. First of all, you have to be able to manage. As you notice in the summer games, there's a 26-sport limit. You have to be able to manage the number of sports that you have. And they all have to have facilities built for them, too.
Well, and the nice thing about a lot of these new sports is they use the same facilities over and over again for the ski cross side, for instance, and the snowboard cross. They can use the same, lack of a better description, track.
Track, course, whatever. But I don't know what direction the X Games are going in because I don't watch them. I mean, I know who Shaun White is, but when the X Games come on, I don't watch the X Games. And I've become friends with Jamie Bestwick, with Summer X Games, who's terrific and an awesome guy. How many times have we had Jamie on the show?
At least three, four.
Right. And he's, I mean, he's X Games extraordinaire. He wins all the time. He wins all the time. He's terrific at it. But I don't have a desire to watch it. I'll watch, but it turns out I'll watch him because I know him. If I hear he's going to be on something, I'll watch. But that's more of a personal friendship allegiance. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it before. And I mean, it's not something that I make it a destination watch. But if I'm scanning through and there's nothing else I'm watching, yeah, I'll pop that on.
No, I won't unless I know he's in it. And the winter ones I've never seen.
Well, I have because of the fact that they are so different. I'm intrigued by it because it is so different.
See, I'm older and I'm not intrigued by it.
You're not intrigued by anything.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. I am more of a traditionalist. To me, Michaela Schifrin winning a slalom medal is really awesome because to me it's a traditional sport that's been competing in the Olympic Games forever. As much of a fraud as figure skating is, it's still a traditional medal, you know, even though the judging part, it's a fraud. I mean, every time you turn around, there's something you sit back and go, really? And you watched it last night. That kid, you know, no offense to the kid, she didn't win.
There's even a stumble in it.
I mean, the one that's like in first place, the defending gold medalist, Yuna, significantly, by the way, significantly ahead by like, you know, like 6-7 points. Like, not a small margin. Didn't miss. How did she lose?
I haven't figured it out. We had Steve Futterman on this morning from CBS News, and he was actually reporting live from the figure skating event throughout the early afternoon yesterday, and he was a little surprised by that as well.
A little surprised by what? It's a fraud. This happens in the sport all the time. It happens in this sport all the time. And people love it. They love the artistry of it. They love the athleticism of it, and justifiably so. A Gracie Gold or an Ashley Wagner light up the ice. Yuna lights up the ice. Girl from Italy that got the bronze lights up the ice. The 15-year-old from Russia lights up the ice. It comes right through the TV set. It's tremendous. The sport's a fraud.
I specifically memorized her name because I think I'm going to need it in coming years. Yulia Lipnitskaya.
Lipnitskaya.
Oh no, they changed the accent mark halfway through the contest.
Right. It's another Tony Dorsett moment.
Yes, all it's right. Lipnitskaya now.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's all right. 4 years from now. Footnote. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to save you big money at the pump and big money at your bank with huge discounts and great gas mileage on all new Hyundais. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 31 brand new Hyundai Elantras, discounted $2,700. Elantra start at $15,677 and gets 38 miles per gallon. Does anyone want to save $6,120? Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all 2013 Sonata Hybrids $6,120 off MSRP. Sonata start at $19,694. If your current vehicle gets 20 miles per gallon and you trade it in on a 40 mpg Sonata hybrid, you'd save $110 per month on gas. Who doesn't want to save $110 per month and $6,120 off the sticker price of a brand new Sonata hybrid? If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Gas mileage savings based on 15,000 miles per year and $3.55 per gallon.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Bottom of the hour, on the Barty birthday. We hear from Sarah Bartlett.
She could be a birthday Barty.
Well, I didn't want to ask her about the Ray Rice thing. Let's face it, that looks bad.
I think she's shied away from that.
I mean, here are two words I want her to remember. Bernard Pierce. He's now your tailback. I don't care if she hit him first. You never, never strike. Never. Sorry, man doesn't do that. No matter who starts what. Just my opinion. Just don't. Ever.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. What a great selection of beer. Imports, microbrews, domestics. Awesome array of snacks. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. Pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Hey, you want to get ready for the weekend, don't you? Perfect time to do it. You want to make sure that you go out, get stocked up for the weekend, find a weekend of the Olympics. You got Duke and Syracuse tomorrow night in college basketball. Incredible. Isn't the Daytona 500 on Sunday? I believe it is. First race of the NASCAR season?
If you're asking me, I have no clue.
That's okay. Yeah. My expectations for you are far higher than the person that was there in 90 minutes. The previous 90
oh,
minutes.
Shucks.
Hi, Cody, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good, good, good. I was talking about kickoff times earlier. By the way, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Humbles Wharf. And that is never a by-the-way moment, we should say. They've been with us since day one. And it's something where when you look at athletics today, intercollegiate athletics, there is so much put, and for obvious reasons, there's a lot of pressure on short-term. How do we get short-term cash? How do we get the turnstiles rolling now? Because we do need cash now. And that is with any college football, college basketball program, because there's a pressure on each to produce dollars so they can support the rest of the sports within their athletic departments. It's just a fact of life. There really is no pressure on any of the other sports. Now, that's not to say that those other sports, for example, don't feel personal pressure to get people through the turnstiles and interested, because they want crowds there to see their student athletes. I mean, so there's a pressure there. But there is far greater pressure by an athletic department in general when it comes to football attendance and also men's basketball attendance, because that is what supports everybody else within the athletic department. Okay. And with that in mind, there's always a lot of idea like, okay, how do we sell out the UMass game? How do we sell out the Ohio State game? How do we sell, you know, just pick whatever, Michigan State game. It's Thanksgiving weekend. How do we sell it out? How do we sell more season tickets? And I think what athletic departments have to start doing is they have to think a little bit outside the box, and there has to be a combination of short-term cash to take care of the budget, but also long-term planning to make this happen. Because the student that you have in school now has a chance to be your season ticket holder in 2024, in 2034, in 2044. You know how old I'm going to be in 2044? Ooh. Okay. So,
But that's, you know, but that's how you have to look at it. And I think that when you have a stadium, let's take Penn State, the size of Beaver Stadium, 106,792 seats. You're saying, well, they always say 108, 107. It's actually 106,792. And the reason is they had to take out about 800 to 1,000 seats because they took out the first three rows a couple of years ago to make the stadium ADA compliant, which has turned out to be a great thing, by the way. I know a couple of people who use that area, and they said it's fantastic what they've done. So that's wonderful. So how do you do it? Penn State's been able to sell 96,000 plus tickets per game to be fifth in the country in each of the last couple of years. And attendance have been on the decline before, obviously, the Sandusky scandal came up. And I think there has to be some thought, somebody, and I don't have the answer to it, but to open the door to recent graduates, where maybe you can come up with recent graduate season ticket packages that are more palatable in certain spots of the stadium to keep them in the stadium, and then at some point, once they achieve some level of success in life, then the thought to upgrade, how can I get between the goal lines? I think in today's world, we're sitting it and watching television. I mean, I have my window to the world today. I have the United States and Canada from noon until about 2:15 watching what was a great game. Canada won 1-0, but it was a great game. But there it is, 50-inch screen, HD, perfect color, perfect clarity. You can see the puck, the entire deal. When I'm done with a Penn State football broadcast, I love coming home and putting my feet up and watching the Saturday night game in HD. But there's nothing better for me than being in a great atmosphere broadcasting a game. Now, it turned out to be, for Penn State, a frustrating night beyond words last night in one of the oddest scenarios I've ever seen Penn State basketball be in, with four technical fouls on Penn State. I've never seen four technical fouls on Penn State. Never. Game featured five technicals. Nebraska had one. Now, the one on Patrick Chambers, it was a mistake, and they admit it was a mistake because he was yelling at his players and wasn't yelling at the officials, and the official does know now he should not have teed him up. But that's neither here nor there. But the atmosphere in that building last night was exciting and electric. 15,000 seats. No shows. There weren't any no shows last night. In fact, they got a hold of Penn State, which has an allotment of 100 tickets, and they wanted to know if they had any tickets that they were not going to be selling out of the allotment of 100. And Penn State had 40 to give back. And they sold them. To be in a great atmosphere, Penn State, Michigan, whiteout, Beaver Stadium, even on the road, being in that atmosphere, or being at Ohio State or the Izzone at Michigan State, the electricity comes through. Now, if you watch Syracuse and Duke tomorrow night at Cameron Indoor, you recall the first one at the Carrier Dome drew a record crowd of better than 35,000. Now, Cameron Indoor seats, I think, what, 9,700, 9,800? But it's going to be loud and electric. And it comes through the TV set. TV wants huge crowds at games because they provide the ambiance and excitement that supplements the action. And I think there's enough TV money out there, and especially in the future when it comes to the Big Ten, the 14 Big Ten schools, the door might be open to having each get between $40 and $45 million a year. They're the last to negotiate the contract. So you have those out there who have not won and are still willing to bid. Last year, as a point of information, each Big Ten school received $25.7 million from television contracts. This does not include the radio contracts they each have. And the radio contract that Penn State has with Learfield is not a small contract. Now you'd go from 25.7 up to, I don't know, pick it up. I said between 40 and 45 million. So let's just pick 43 million. You're talking about an increase of $17 million plus per school. Is that enough of a payday from television yearly to allow you to adjust rates in your stadium to do what I talked about, where you're thinking long term, because that student is your future consumer? And right now, student no-shows are a problem nationally, as Darren Revelle's article in ESPN.com pointed out. Penn State's not bad. The Kent State game was a killer because it just poured all day and the no-show rate was all over the place. And Penn State also this year did not have a game Thanksgiving weekend at home or Labor Day weekend at home. Labor Day weekend was at the Meadowlands, and Thanksgiving weekend was at Wisconsin. But the Nebraska game was at the beginning of fall break. So that game was, they had two games affected, one by weather and one by the beginning of fall break. Penn State's no-show rate of 18.1% of the student body actually is one of the better, believe it or not, no-show rates in the country. And keep in mind that Penn State sells more student season tickets than anyone else, 21,362. At Georgia, it's like 16,000. Arizona's 10,000, and Arizona had a 48% no-show rate on games this year. 48%. Georgia's was 29%. Oklahoma, 26%. Michigan, 27% no-show rate. So now you have to do a couple of things. You have to get the student who's bought the ticket engaged in coming to games, because students take an atmosphere from a 7 to a 10. So now you have to cultivate your student body. I think give them some even more incentives to be there. And kickoff times, by the way, are a critical component. But you are controlled by television on that. As I pointed out earlier, you say to people, when's the ideal kickoff time? Oh, I remember when the games were all at 1:30. Forget it. You can't do it. There's no 1:30 time slot. So those days are gone. Because like every other conference and every other school in a major conference, they have TV contracts and time slots. Penn State football and Penn State men's basketball are TV shows. They are dictated by TV. Every start time is dictated by what time TV needs them to be on. They fill a time slot. But research is showing for the students, the later at the kickoff time, the more they're apt to go. And we're going to do a lot of talking about this, finding out from you, the fan, at 800-795-9565, what you, the fan, okay, pays good money to go to games, what's the best kickoff time for you? We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The boss takes us home.
Way to go, Cody. Her wouldn't have played this.
Gotta support America, you know.
You got that right. Jersey's own. Yeah. Well, I hear that. You know what I want to do? I want to go to Brewers Outlet and stock up for the weekend.
There you go.
All right. Well, big weekend coming up. For me, though, an off weekend. Been a while since I've had one. I think I've had three since the middle of last June. Yeah.
I'll try to enjoy this one.
Yeah, we will. All right, coming up Monday, we'll take a close look at how the Olympics turned out. Also, big weekend of college basketball, Daytona 500. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Have a great weekend. Cody, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Kevin, thanks. Happy birthday, Marty.